This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Spear Travel Group.
Spear Travel Group is a team of dedicated travel professionals that take the work and stress out of planning all your travel needs for events before, during, and after your wedding, and of course, your entire wedding weekend.
They can help you with hotel accommodation needs surrounding your wedding. So wedding room blocks for out-of-town guests, which is a big deal, or even if you're going to, let's say, Nashville for your bachelor or bachelorette party, or Miami. They can help you find unique experiences anywhere in the world.
They can also help with luxury home rentals and hotels, which could be great for venues or for guests to stay. And after the wedding, they can help you curate your dream honeymoon.
Spear Travel helps clients with booking and building out their dream destination wedding, and they take away all the work but leave all the fun, saving you hours of endless research and that craziness of like having to read through and look through every single review online to see if the place is even worth it.
Plus, there are added perks, VIP service. They can help you use your points. Everything is negotiated on your behalf.
Listen, Spear does not just want to spend the weekend with you. As soon as that ring is on your finger, that's when the relationship starts. They're in this for the fun, and they want to have a great time with their clients.
All of their services at their core are at no cost to you. So visit them today, speartravelgroup.com, S-P-E-A-R, travelgroup.com, or send them a note at info@speartravelgroup.com to set up an intake call.
Thank you, Spear Travel Group.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding plans. Tearing it up. Listen. Learn. Land that way. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, thank you for joining us. Happy to be here.
And happy Earth Day tomorrow, everyone. Happy Earth Month, really, now.
Yes, I like to celebrate Earth Day like I like to celebrate my birthday. And I just make a whole week of it. And then after that week is over, I change my mind and tell everyone it's actually going to go for a full month from that point forward. So happy Earth Month.
And happy birthday month, Christy Matthews. Your birthday was yesterday, according to the day this episode releases. So everybody say happy birthday to Christy, because her birthday is 420.
That's right. Woohoo! Yeah. Light them if you've got them.
Yeah, man. Smoke them, light them, you know.
Turn them on.
Eat them. Yeah, so Earth Day, this is a great timely episode. I'm super glad that Sarah reached out to us. So let me read her bio, because this will pretty much sum it all up, peeps, okay? This episode is chock full of so many tips that are easy, okay? These are easy for you to implement, and some of you might be doing this already and not realize that you are actually doing something that is helping the earth, right? Helping your wedding be sustainable in some way, shape, or form. So let me read Sarah's bio. Sarah Bailey is a sustainable wedding expert who educates soon-to-wed couples on how to plan the unique wedding of their dreams while embracing their eco-conscious values. Sarah also oversees So Kind, an alternative gift registry, which, by the way, I think is like brilliant, okay? So Kind Registry. SoKindRegistry.org, people. SoKindRegistry.org, where couples can register for things like secondhand or homemade gifts, charitable donation, gifts of time or service. Overall, we have not, that I can remember, Christy, have we put an episode out about green weddings, sustainable weddings? Have we done this?
I don't think it's a dedicated episode. It's either a Yawa or we talked about it with maybe the feminism, activism in weddings. And so it was for people whose, if your true passion and like you're walking the walk, but then you get married and you find it to be this like sort of wasteful proposition of everything. So it was activism in weddings and talking about how like you can embrace and share your own values through the wedding, but you have to be a little bit more deliberate about some of the choices.
Yes. So you could search that on our website as well. All right. So let's jump into this episode and happy Earth Day. And, you know, as you move about this month and as you're wedding planning, just, you know, maybe give it a second thought, you know,
Is there something there's always I can do? More you can do, right? And everybody's like overwhelmed. They get like, I can't do it all. But something is better than nothing.
Right.
And there's baby steps here.
Yeah. And this is the thing. We don't want you to be overwhelmed with like, you must do this. There is no pressure here, man. No judgment. Smoke them if you got them. Peace and love. You know, the whole thing. But there might be one thing that you're like, oh, dude, I can easily do that.
I can do that.
Boom. All right, Christy?
All right. Okay. All right. I'm good. Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Okay. You're good. I'm good. Let's go. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Sarah Bailey. I'm the Population and Sustainability Organizer at the Center for Biological Diversity, and I am a sustainable wedding expert.
Perfect. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
You know, for a while they were very trendy, green wedding, you know, but this is not trendy. This is actually something that, you know, not only for many is a way of life, right? And I try so hard to not be wasteful. But you know, when planning a wedding, there is a lot of, what is the opposite of sustainable and green?
I mean, very simply put, waste.
Wasteful.
Unconscious consumption. Like some of it you're not realizing. Maybe it's like happening behind the scenes. And yeah, I'm glad you said sustainable isn't trendy, because I feel like sometimes it comes across as a buzzword, but it's like kind of the opposite, like, right? Sustainable. We want to be, it means to, you know, do something for a long period of time and continue, which is pretty much the opposite of trendy as well.
There we go. Okay. So good. Talk to us about your background and, you know, how all of this came to be for you.
Sure. It starts with maybe an unsuspecting item, condoms. My initial position at the center was endangered species condoms coordinator. And maybe that this can be like a picture to be shared with people later, because I realize we're on audio, but
yeah.
At the center, we give out these condom packages that come, the condoms come in cute packages with pretty animal illustrations with punny phrases. So I am looking at one that says, before your clothes hit the floor, think of the California condor, which was the California one for you guys today. And on the inside, you open it up, there's more information. It's like the package is the size of a pack of gum, and there's a couple condoms in there. And the idea is to help people make the connection how safe sex can help wildlife. And that's the idea that as more people are on the planet, we put more pressure. We all need resources, food, water, a place to live. And as the more people, we are kind of pushing wildlife to the limit, because there's, you know, only so much to go around. The solutions we advocate for are education and access to family planning resources, not telling people, you know, an optimal number of kids to have or to not have kids. All that being said, we also talk about consumption and how in the US we have a higher rate of consumption compared to other places in the world. And we like to kind of pinpoint certain areas, you know, consumption is a big wide thing that it's in all parts of our lives. So we try to find areas to target on. Weddings seemed like a cool area to target on. You also have the kind of assumption of family planning is, you know, also on the forefront of couples' minds, at least on the younger side, you know, marriage, then baby carriage and all that. And then very opportunistically, I was planning my own wedding at the time. So I was already doing this research. So if I could double dip it for work, that was excellent for me.
Excellent. Yeah. I remember looking at the website going, wait, what's with the condoms? This is interesting.
Yeah, it takes a sec.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and then, so that's, you know, how the wedding guide came about then, that you were like, okay, I'm planning my wedding and I'm seeing some opportunity here to maybe educate others.
Yeah. It was basically, as I was looking for this information myself, there's kind of like, the, you know, there's a handful of listicles out there on different websites of like five things to do here and there. And there are some, I mean, there are full books out there, but they can be a tad bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw a need for like a nice middle ground of like free information. And then we always do, we kind of like to crunch the numbers at the center as well. So actually telling you what the impacts are of certain decisions, you know, for lack of a better word, to give you more bang for your conservation buck.
So being that we're releasing this the day before Earth Day for 2021, we thought this was going to be a really great subject. And we thought this, you know, episode could give some inspiration to those out there planning their weddings, and maybe just plant a little seed. Ooh, pun intended.
Nice. I like it.
You know, and just put some thought into, you know, your decisions, your choices for your wedding. Sarah, tell us about your wedding and, you know, some things that you did and about your experience planning.
Yeah. So I got married in June, 2019. So not too long ago.
Yeah.
And yeah. So my husband and I are from the East Coast, outside of Philadelphia, North Jersey. And at the time we were living in Tucson, Arizona. So that was sort of decision number one. Where do we have this wedding? Do we keep it convenient for us and have everyone come to Tucson, Arizona? It's a lovely place. Yeah. Or do we keep it convenient for most of our guests and travel back east? And we decided to do that. We decided it was easier. You know, I have a pretty big extended family. We wanted to keep it convenient for people. And ultimately, this is also will help reduce the carbon footprint of your wedding. Location and how much travel will be involved for you and your guests is going to be one of the biggest impacts on your wedding because of air travel. And sidebar, we ended up moving to Western New York anyway a month before our wedding. So that was for other reasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, just overall geographic location. I think there can be an assumption from some people that a destination wedding might be lower impact because usually there's fewer guests. Like the average, I think it's 40 guests average for a destination wedding versus 100 to 150 for like an in-town wedding. And while it will be like less meals and less people, the impact of flying versus driving to a wedding in town, even if you know have a short road trip to do it, it's a very big difference.
Right.
Yeah, it's about 75 times the emissions.
If wow. You
like most people doing some sort of like cross-country flight involved. There's, I think it's an easy misconception, like, right, it's like a bus, public transit's good, we're all traveling together, but just getting that bus in the air is a big fuel cost.
Interesting.
And then we also chose to have our ceremony and reception in the same place. That being said, we had the flexibility of like not being terribly religious. So we didn't have like a church or a temple synagogue that we felt tied to for a ceremony. So that, you know, I don't realize that could be a barrier for some folks. But when you have your ceremony and reception in the same place, you also limit the emissions of everyone driving from point A to point B. I mean, you could also choose two that are very close together and just keep that in mind to also reduce. But just really, you know, when all you have to do is walk to another room for cocktail hour, like it's just a little, and it's like a nice, it's easier for everyone. It's one less thing to coordinate.
Totally. Oh, I agree. But yeah, I mean, I never thought of it that way. Like the one venue is in and of itself a way to be a little more sustainable with your wedding.
Yeah. And even if it's not for sustainability reasons to make that choice, like it can be easier on your budget and logistically, and then the sustainability benefits are there. So I like to sell it on whatever front I can. And if you do have a point A, point B to get people from, like I had a hotel most guests were staying at, having a shuttle bus available is a nice option because that's also going to reduce emissions. Cause you know, think about, you know, 20 people can fit on a bus. You're going to take that many cars off the road. And the bus will be a more efficient form of transportation. And then, you know, no one's getting lost. Everyone can get back safely after drinking if that is their choice. So it's like another one of those like additional side benefits plus sustainability.
Yes. Very good. Another easy one to implement, which many people do already without even, you know, realizing that that's actually a benefit to.
I mean, a lot of this is like not atypical stuff, and it's just kind of letting people know that there's that added benefit there. And like that maybe, you know, cause that is going to be an extra cost. That's not going to like be easier on your budget, but like, that's a nice benefit to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So where was your wedding?
Right across the river from Philadelphia. It's the Adventure Aquarium. And that would go to another decision I recommend is choosing a place that's already pretty and doesn't need a lot of decoration. I put no thought into decoration other than, yes, I would like to get married in front of the shark tank. That looks really cool. And that will be my backdrop.
Oh my gosh. That's so the shark tank, the sharks were your backdrop.
Yes.
Now, how did that work? You had a photographer.
So that was like, we did put an extra thought into when we were like talking to photographers of just like, it's going to be weird. It's going to be night. There's going to be glare. Our background will be moving.
Oh, like, it was nighttime too, to boot.
Yeah. I mean, like it's, in, you know, it's evening, it's indoors.
Yeah. Very low light.
Yeah. So just like, have you done this before? Like, do you have ideas to handle it? And our photographer, like, it was amazing. Our photographer was so stoked for it. And like, we got like to take pictures in a shark tunnel, like just all the cool photo ops to do. I think in the aquarium tunnel, they're like, no flash though. Like it is bedtime for the sharks. So like,
So how did, so that's interesting because a photographer was your photographer not allowed to use flash during the ceremony?
I forget. I don't think so.
They might've let just the photographer.
Maybe.
Or the photographer set up some lighting maybe perhaps.
Yeah. I think there was definitely like, there was some scouting happening to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Cause if not, y'all would have been really still for a really long time.
But like I looked at pictures like I don't know, sometimes it doesn't work out well. And I like also found some photographers. I was like, nope, not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So, a venue like a botanical garden, a zoo, aquarium, just, I mean, nice, naturally beautiful outdoor spaces are great. And yeah, I didn't have to think, I didn't worry about decorations or bouquet, you know, flowers or any of that.
Except for your own personal flowers.
I actually opted for a clutch. I wanted something that would be reusable again. So my bridesmaids and myself, I got them clutches. I put boutonnieres on. So there's a little, we had some little succulents. And then I got myself a cute vintage clutch because I was like, oh, I need something to hold my vows. And I wanted something I could use again. I wasn't going to use
it. I love that. So instead of, and were they, they were not real flowers then?
So the boutonnieres we got were succulents that we could then plant at. Like they kind of have a little more staying power. So we could disassemble and plant later, which I actually have them in a little planter behind me here.
Awesome. So a clutch purse and then florals attached to it. Mm-hmm. And then you could have your stuff in your purse while you're standing there.
Yes. Everyone, they're like, oh, do you need us to hold this? I was like, this has my vows. I need this.
No, this has my vows. This has my tissue.
This is all part of the plan.
This has my cell phone so I can take a call during the ceremony. Exactly.
Did pass that off to someone else.
Yeah. Can you imagine? You're like, ooh, I get a call. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful. I love that. Because a lot of people do have issue with flowers. I cannot imagine not having flowers at a, well, that's not true. I have seen it, but it's very seldom. But I love this because you've got something, you know.
Yeah.
And it's an aquarium.
Yes.
There's visuals everywhere.
That's sort of where the unconscious consumption can happen is like, you just kind of see these things that are traditions. And even like my mom was like, oh, but no centerpieces. I was like, tell me the most memorable centerpiece you've ever seen at a wedding. I don't think that's what people remember. So I was like, I'm not spending money on that.
Well, it depends on the wedding, Sarah, but I hear you. The
right, it's all very personal choices, but right. That was just something that was not particular to me, but it's easy. Like, it just becomes so many things become assumed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just kind of like questioning, like, is this a meaningful thing that, you know, if you're on a budget, is this where I want to spend money? And that kind of thing.
Okay. These are great. So your ceremony was in the aquarium. It was like in front of the shark tank. That is awesome. And then did you all move to another part of the aquarium for dinner? Did you do dancing? What'd you do?
Yeah. They, I guess kind of have just like a big entryway. There's like a cool fish mobile above like the center. So just, yeah, just kind of this open, I'm trying to think what it is, I guess it's just kind of like an open atrium kind
of space. Yeah.
And yeah, like there's like a nice balcony. You can like look out at the skyline. So it was like very seamless, like well-suited for event space. Yeah. And then we, you know, went off and took some shark tunnel pictures and then came back to the party.
That's great. And did you have a DJ? And
yeah.
Uh-huh. What would you have for food? I'm down. I'm curious. I love to hear wedding details.
Yeah. And food's the next biggest thing that
okay, will good.
Impact your carbon footprint of your wedding. So I'm vegetarian and my husband is not. So that was sort of one of our compromise points for our menu where, and most of our guests are not. So he's like, this is not going to be a fully vegetarian wedding. Like we're giving people the option, but the compromise was we opted for, cause it was a buffet. So, you know, you get to choose a couple entrees out of the list and we opted for chicken and fish and like a good pasta dish over any red meat.
I'm sorry. You ate fish at an aquarium?
I know. Right. Like I definitely, the thought crossed my mind.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, it's fine. It just all of a sudden it occurred to me. I'm like, wait,
you just like lock eyes across the glass. You're like, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Crab. I apologize. Did you think about that? Did that even occur to you?
Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, that's still weird to like, yeah, definitely. But overall, like big picture, lower impact than red meat. So we opted out that portion. And your part of like any wedding is cocktail hour and the appetizers actually, rather than the main meal. And it's always gonna be a little tricky as a vegetarian. Like you get the little unlabeled stuffed item. You're like, does this have meat? Does it not? And I was like, I would like everything to be vegetarian. So I know at my own wedding, I can eat all the appetizers. So that was allowed to be.
Okay.
Stuff. It was like, it did not feel like, I don't think it felt like a sacrifice. Everyone else.
Oh,
good.
There's plenty of delicious finger foods that do not involve, you know, animal meat.
Yeah. Good bruschetta. Like,
yeah.
So that, yeah, that was what we opted for our menu. And then for dessert, instead of like the big cake, just kind of like a grab and go dessert table, like lots of like finger food dessert options. Cause that was something else I noticed from my own wedding experience is I would get up and dance and then my cake gets taken away while I'm gone. So something you can grab and take with you, I think just kind of reduces the food waste. Cause you know, typically I think it's like about 10% of all food at weddings goes to waste. So anywhere you can kind of like find ways to reduce that is going to be beneficial and sustainable. Oh,
that's interesting. Cause I was like, wait, why not a cake? What goes into making a cake? But you actually, there was less food waste. And that's true because there's a large percentage of guests. I don't think a lot of people out there realize, like, I think it's something like 25% of people, you know, guests at a wedding, close to 25% actually don't like cake. Like,
oh
don't
yeah.
eat cake. So that's why there's like the donuts and the this and that. So I love a good dessert buffet. What was in the dessert buffet? What did you have?
Oh my God. I'm like trying to remember if I actually made it to that.
You didn't even eat it.
I think I had some like cream puff type things. They're definitely like smaller finger food. I was like a little more focused on the bar.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Of course. As you should be. Can you back up though? Cause you said something with regard to red meat.
Yes.
And that's why you chose fish and chicken, because it was the red meat is not as sustainable, or what is it about the red meat?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to it being a bigger animal and just kind of the whole sidebar of agribusiness in the US. It's a lot of land use. It takes a lot of water, even more land to grow the crops, to feed the cows. So it's just kind of this, like, it goes beyond like the animal itself. It's all the resources that go into it as well. And then like the processing and all that. So yeah, compared, like a vegetarian menu is going to reduce your emissions by 75% and a vegan menu is going to reduce your emissions by 90%.
Oh, wow. But it's so obviously like, but getting fish,
chicken and fish, it's going to be not as big a reduction, but still
somewhat.
We actually have a wedding footprint calculator on our website that you can with some calculations on your menu.
Where is that? Is it under weddings?
Yes.
Oh, I see it. Okay. So endangeredspeciescondoms.com, by the way. And then you go to weddings and then wedding footprint calculator. Oh, that's really cool. Is this?
Yeah. So you can, this has been part of the guide since it launched. So you can look at the travel involved for your guests if you're debating different locations. How like the exact impacts of bus will have, and looking at your different menu options.
This is awesome.
You can also access the guide by going to wildlifefriendlywedding.org.
I love it. The little butterflies with the bands. It's really nice. Hi. If you're listening to this podcast, you might be planning a wedding or thinking about planning one or replanning one, or maybe you want to be a wedding planner.
We have been producing this podcast for over 4 years. Woo. And now we've taken all of that feedback, all of the interactions we've had through the podcast, and the expertise we have as professional wedding planners, and we've created the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass.
This is a digital course that shows you how to plan step by step from beginning to end our way. It's also helpful at any stage of the planning process, even if you've already gotten started or you're at the very tail end of wedding planning.
We know not everyone can afford a wedding planner, and we saw a need for a comprehensive, customizable, completely inclusive wedding planning instructional course.
With our course, you get templates, spreadsheets, worksheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Plus, we included tons of videos and screen shares to show you exactly how to use all of our planning tools.
And we're here for you. If you have any questions, please email us at hello@thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And if you're interested in the course, go to thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up.
Again, www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com. Thank you. Okay, so this is great. So we talked about one venue is a way to help. Transportation, having transportation for your guests instead of everybody driving their own car. Food, if you go vegetarian based, at least maybe even just for the cocktail reception, that's helpful. Finding a venue that doesn't require a lot of decor. And if you can get away with no florals like you did, those clutches, I mean, that's super cool. What about your dress? What about attire? We didn't talk about that. And I have that on my notes.
This is a very fun one for me. I was very, very fortunate. In Tucson, there is a whole bridal boutique dedicated to selling used dresses. And it's called Free Ever After. And it's a nonprofit. They actually raise money. They use their proceeds to help stop sex trafficking. So just like all around win-win-win. Good dress, good price, good cause. And yeah, they take dress donations, both wedding and any kind of formal wear. I actually got a wedding guest dress there at around the same time. And yeah, I was able to walk in. They were doing had a sale. They asked me my price point. I said I would like to not spend more than $500. And they told me every dress would be an option. And I think sometimes when people hear a used dress, they kind of imagine like digging through a thrift shop or Goodwill.
Yeah.
Line where you maybe don't get to try it on, but this was like still very cute. I still got like a nice like little dressing room experience. It was all bridal, so I had like a lot of options.
Yeah, they have a great website actually. So yeah. It's freeeverafterbridal.com is the website. What a great, yeah, this is great. And I wonder now, can you sell dresses here if anybody wants to?
So because they're a profit, I believe it's only donations, but they may have started doing consignment potentially.
Donating is great too. Some people might just prefer to donate it, you know, not.
Right. And if you like, don't need your dress afterwards, like that's a nice call. And there's other online causes you can find. I've heard, you know, on other wedding forums, I've heard other cities and towns have their own little versions of this, that there's like nonprofit bridal boutiques. I don't think that's like super widespread, but this is, I don't think also the only one.
Yeah.
So yeah, just buying a used dress, saved on the raw materials that would go into a brand new dress. And it's really a nice thing to buy used because what that person maybe wore the dress for a few hours. Like it's a very, you're getting something pretty close to brand new.
Yes. I was talking to we were talking to a bride the other day who she got married during COVID. I mean, they had the big wedding plan. They had to postpone. She had a small, you know, small, yeah. You know, COVID, what we call a COVID wedding. And then, you know, I think she's going to have her other big wedding again. So she actually is going to wear her dress twice, which is way more than most people. Like,
mine's a knee length dress, so it's a little more functional to wear. So we like had our little quarantine 1 year anniversary and like sat out on our porch in our outfits.
That's cute.
I can still move around in this.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And as far as my husband, so going used is great. My husband decided to buy a suit, but it was good. He bought something with like a nice dark gray that's kind of neutral and versatile. So he could then wear it to other formal occasions. He did not have like a nice new suit. So he has that to wear to other events now, which is nice.
That is nice. I think that's important too. And you know, it's, if there's ever a time to buy yourself a suit, it's your wedding. And then, yeah, buying one that's going to be like a dark navy or a gray, like you're saying, yeah, that you can always wear to other weddings or, you know, baby showers or whatever it is. And be your parents', you know, 50th anniversary, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Excellent. Excellent. So can we talk a little bit about decor items and how, you know, a lot of people will, because they're DIYers, trying to save money, will purchase a lot of things, like on Amazon, or at Michael's, you know, and all of these stores, and then use it for the wedding. And that's not always the most sustainable way of going, is it?
Yeah, no. I mean, it might be budget friendly, but especially if you don't, if it's nothing you have, you'll have a use for afterwards. Like, I think there are some people who get creative and figure out like a guest book option that will be like nice home decor. I found a table runner at like a antique market and it like hangs on our wall now. So thinking, you know, thinking about like, oh, can like, will I have any use for this later? Can be a good way to think about it. But if it's not, try it. There's better ways to go. I think what's cool is people have realized, this is something the like wedding community has realized. So you can find like a lot of local Facebook groups of people reselling things. You can get it at reduced costs and then no new packaging needed for the thing you're buying used. And that's something maybe you can consider for a wedding, is like reselling it afterwards, like maybe help recoup some costs, pass it off to a new home so it's not just sitting in your basement. And buy nothing groups are a cool thing. I have seen that there are usually Facebook groups for like very localized areas of your community. So rather than even a whole city, it'll be like partitioned off by neighborhood, and someone can be like, hey, I need mason jars for this. Someone's like, oh, I have some. So you can kind of like, someone can give away something they don't need anymore, and you have a use for it.
Yeah. It's Buy Nothing Project, right? There's like, yes, they're all over the place.
Yeah. So I do see a fair amount of wedding DIYers like, hey, I need candlesticks, or just those random odds and ends. And people are like, oh, I did this here. Take it off my hands.
Yeah, I think taking the time to find these types of, you know, instead of going on Amazon right away or purchasing brand new, to take the time to do a little research, Facebook Marketplace, like.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, good, good. Okay, I got it, I got it, all right. Okay, so this is all great. I remember I did this wedding a few years back now in San Francisco, and the couple, the food was delicious, first of all, because it was Mexican food and it was from this really great place in the city. But they opted to do all compostable, biodegradable dishes, you know, and even the forks, and their favors were like beer steins, kind of like, not like beer, like those pint glasses. And then it had their name, their wedding date on it. And then we had like a slip of paper in each one that had the guest's name and then their table number. And we had a sign there that said, this doubles not only as your gift, but this is your glass for the entire evening. So, you know, please hang on to it. Actually, I want to revise that. Their name was etched into the glass, the guest's name. Like, they were actually able to do this.
Oh, wow.
And then the slip of paper inside, you know, had their table number on it. And so that way nobody lost their glass and they would refill. But talk to me about the compostable part of things, because a lot of people think that they're doing a great service by purchasing compostable plates, forks, you know, all of this. Talk to me about that.
Yes. First, I do want to say I love the multi-purposeness of like a favor, your drink glass for the night, add a place card.
Right?
Also fantastic, sustainable, doing double duty. I love that. And remind me to come back to favors.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as compostable and biodegradable, it's all kind of, it's context dependent. Are you going to go with compostable over styrofoam plates? Sure. Compostable is great compared to styrofoam. If you're kind of like doing like a picnicky wedding where you don't want like fine china around. But I feel like at most traditional venues where you have a caterer, they're typically taking care of the plates, utensils, glassware for you. And honestly, going with something that is going to get reused is going to be good, because compostable is dependent on proper disposal. And a lot of those materials need a specific conditions to properly biodegrade, which can be fine. It's kind of one of those like, is whoever's disposing of it making sure that step is happening. So for it to really reap the benefits, it's just like kind of another step to check on, which when you're wedding planning, like there's so much to keep track of. Do you want to be tracking?
Do you want to track the garbage
through their life cycle?
Right.
Probably not.
Yes. So
I don't want it to get overwhelming of like all the sustainability things, like, right. Every little bit counts. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like I will admit I burned out on my, I did not track the food waste and like what happened with my wedding. I just had to be careful with, here's my very exact guest count. Please go with this and like, let them know if anyone changed.
I'd like to just take a moment actually and do a little reality check for those listening. This episode is not to like make you feel as if you're a very wasteful person. You know, this episode is to kind of bring awareness. And Yes. There are, you know, the compostable thing for me was an eye opener when you and I talked about it before, because I'm like, ah, crap, you know, like, all right. At that point, you're like, well, just get recyclable stuff, right? Like that would probably be maybe easier to say like, okay, caterer, you know, make sure that you've got a recyclable bag and, you know, that's sent to the recycle. But having one location, guest transportation, maybe having a vegetarian cocktail hour, reducing, you know, buying used decor, like all of those, even if you implemented just one of them, whereas you might not have before listening to this episode, is going to be helpful overall, right? So please we don't want you to start feeling like you need to take a pen and paper and then like, go call your caterer right now and say, okay, listen up. Unless you want
to. I mean, it is something I'd like to empower a couple, like have that information of what are the questions to ask if this is something you want to do a deep dive on.
But yes.
It is, right? Like even, I know there's lots of good reasons for it, but even getting prices initially can be hard from some vendors. Like it's not always listed on websites. And I know there are reasons for that, but like, right. So then even these deeper dive questions are hard when you're making a lot, like the decision fatigue gets real. Totally understandable.
Yeah, 100%. But I think I'm like, oh man. Cause like where I live right now, for example, where I moved from just in my home, the garbage company, we had our compostable bin, we had our recyclable bin, and we had a regular garbage bin. And
California's doing it right.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, San Francisco Bay Area, right? That was like the city, you know, or the county had that regulated. We were to put food in the compostable bin, no food in the garbage bin, you know, and we knew that was happening. Then we moved out here to where I live now, which is beyond Sacramento. And our compostable bin, I had my, you know, green compostable bags with food in it the first week we were here, and they didn't pick up my garbage. And I called and I'm like, hey, can you send them back? They forgot to pick up my garbage. Like, did you have food waste bags in there? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we don't do that here. You can only have, you know, yard clippings. It can only be stuff from your yard. So I was like, oh, that's kind of, that sucks. I remember being,
and I have to drive my compost to like a drop-off point.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. We don't have pickup. The fact that there's even somewhere to drop it off is nice that I don't have to pay for.
Yeah. My friend has a whole compost in her backyard. I'm like, oh, I can't do all that. That's all, you know, but point being that you can't just buy the compostable, which is lovely to even think of and consider. when it might not be disposed of properly.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good composting sidebar.
So buffet. That one's kind of tough because you were telling me like about the food waste. You don't want food to get wasted. And sometimes, you know, caterers overbuy because the last thing you want is to run out of food. Like that's for really sure. Terrible. And as a wedding planner, I'm like, no. We can't we can't run out of food. But there's a huge amount of waste that happens often.
Yes.
So what are some things, you know, because sometimes buffet is less expensive than a seated, you know, dinner, sometimes not, depending, you know, what are ways to ensure there's no wasted food? Would you recommend?
Yeah. So the reading I've done, it did suggest that buffets tend to have a little more food waste than a plated dinner. So if you have the choice, like maybe out for plated can help with that. Cause right. Portions are being decided for people. They're not like overestimating what they want to eat. So that's one. And then like I was talking about earlier, the dessert options that are kind of easier to walk around with so that they don't get taken while people are up dancing can help. And then maybe even just asking them like, hey, what happens to the food when it's done? So I've been to weddings where I know the couple got to take the extra. So it was like when they had the nice little get together the next day, it was just like, here's leftovers. I was like, great. Like they had a selection of cakes. So I tried all the flavors I did not try the night before. So if that's an option, like maybe it's just a matter of asking. So then it doesn't go like, you know, it has somewhere to go at the end of the night. Maybe there's venues that donate to like soup kitchens or something like that. But just seeing it like, you know, is that something you can facilitate for them? Like if you can coordinate a pickup. But yeah, like, and then just, you know, keeping track of your numbers. If you're getting last minute no's or declines, like let your caterer know so that their numbers are as accurate as possible.
Yeah. I always try when I know that my clients are going to have a buffet or like stations, I do ask the caterer to bring to-go containers. And ideally they're not plastic. Ideally they're those like cardboardish kind of, you know, that fold up and, you know, like a Chinese food takeout container. So that we can send food with the guests.
And like, who wouldn't love that as they're leaving? Like,
they love
a slice
it.
Of cake in a box. Like, amazing.
People love it, especially if they've been drinking a lot. You send them home with some food. They can like munch on in the car or what, you know, or in the bus or get to the hotel room and just like, blah, like go crazy. It's great. Okay, good. You wanted to circle back to favors.
Yeah. So favors, another good place where you can reduce waste, or at least when you inevitably have some leftovers that it's like something you want. So, you know, maybe instead of beer koozies where if like your guests inevitably forget to take them with you, you're not stuck with 100 beer koozies that you do not need. So consumables are a great one. So again, kind of like we were just talking about with take home, having food, like snacks, something to go. And then, hey, if you get stuck with a bunch of cookies, awesome. I made seed bombs for mine. So what it was is you kind of take some, like you throw soaked newspaper and water in the blender and make like a pulpy soup, and you mix in seeds for native plants and you kind of mold them into little silicone molds, let them dry out. And then literally you just drop them on the ground and like they can germinate and grow into cute little flowers. So when I got stuck with a whole bunch of those, I was just able to have a nice garden.
Oh, wow. So you made those yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What did you put them in?
DIY I did.
That was your DIY. What did you put them in? Like, how did you give them to guests?
They literally just kind of become little balls of dry paper. So we just kind of had them in a basket and we're like, here you go. Like, throw them in your purse on your way out. I think I had little envelopes too that people could put them in if they wanted that. And it was cute. Like a couple of my family members have sent me pictures of the flower. Like, hey, here's the flowers I grew from your seed bomb. It was like two, again, out of 100 people, but I was excited about it.
That's cute. I love that
idea.
It's
one of those, cause you could opt out of favors altogether as well. But I did like the idea of you can do something good with them. So having plants for native pollinators, like I work at an environmental nonprofit. So that was a thing I cared about. My husband studied bees for his PhD. So that was like a nice little joint thing we both like enjoy.
Yeah. And that's definitely one of those points that we always make about customizing a wedding to the couple, right? Like,
yeah.
Your guests are probably like, oh my God, so Sarah.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. I had like a goofy little rhyme on a sign about it. Like, yes, 100%.
Oh, that's awesome. So Sarah, can you, when you and I had our onboarding call, we talked about all these lovely things, which I feel like we've gone over in pretty good detail and given some great tips. But you were telling me about this registry that you now you used when you were getting married, and then somehow you ended up owning this registry business. Can you talk about it?
I never thought about it that way. So another nonprofit started this registry platform. And then when they shut down, they wanted to still have a home. So they offered it to us to continue to maintain. And it's called the So Kind Registry. So that's sokindregistry.org. The motto is less stuff, more fun. And it's an alternative gift giver, a registry platform that encourages alternative gift giving. So compared to your traditional registry of like linens and towels and salad spinners, it's an opportunity to register for experiences or secondhand items, gifts of time or service. So, because I think that's like sort of the way a lot of things are moving. People are getting married later. They've typically lived together already. They might have the things they need for their home. And like, sure, you can like upgrade and get some stuff. Like we still did that, but we didn't need like a ton of things to fill our house. What we had more use for was our moving fund, as we did a cross country move a month before our wedding, or the funds for a dog sitter for our honeymoon that our dog will not join us on. Mm-hmm. You can set up little cash funds. Again, if you you could have someone, we didn't do this, but a thing you could do is a gift of service of, hey, can you help us with wedding cleanup? And someone could like offer to give that. So it just kind of, it makes that more accessible. And you can still link items on it as well. But, you know, if you're like, we'd like this appliance, but hey, you know, we're happy to take it secondhand. That is a thing you can select on the registry as well.
That's awesome. And charities, right? You can.
Yes. And yeah. And charities as well.
So this is fantastic because I think there are a lot of couples that they do reach out to us. Like we've lived together for a long time and, you know, or, I mean, those dog people who have a dog right now, I mean, I know
right?
we were talking about, we have a puppy now and we're like, you know, at some point we want to, when it's safe to fly, like we want to go somewhere. I'm like, what are we going to do with Polly? You know, I want somebody to come stay at the house. Like, so registering for like a dog sitter, like that's really good.
And even just, activities, like we registered for a state park pass. Like we love to hike and be outside. So we got that, a zoo membership. Cause yeah, like, you know, it's, the etiquette on asking for cash is still like iffy, but, and people like giving you a thing. So it's like, hey, I got you the state park pass. Like, and now I'm super excited to see your hiking pictures.
I really like how you said you can register, like you could put things that you need somebody to help you with on the wedding day.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So this is great. This is go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was gonna say it's not, you know, exclusive to weddings, baby showers, birthdays, holiday wish lists. You can just edit it. Like it can be a registry platform you use through your entire life. So we've, now that I'm on the customer service side, I'm the one who answers the emails.
Oh, do you?
If they have questions, comments, concerns, that's me. But people change it from their wedding to their baby shower, to their holiday wish list. You can make a give list. If this is something, if you're into alternative gift giving to others, you can say, hey, here are things I can give. I can give like any skills you have, organizing, cleaning, music lessons. So if that's the thing on the gift giver side of thing you want to support, you can use it for that as well.
This is so good. I love this. An alternative gift registry, weddings and,
it's very versatile.
And more. Yeah. It's really smart. And I think it's great. So it's sokindregistry.org is the URL for that. So check that out. And yeah, I feel like this is all such, like I said, such great information for anyone listening. And it, again, if you could just take away one thing, you know, if it was just one, then, you know, you're making the world a better place.
Yeah. Okay. And everyone wants to personalize their day. And I think your values can be a really nice way to do that. And you don't often have a big crowd of people that you can share this kind of stuff with.
Right.
So if you are passionate about this and, you know, if you have lots of other friends getting married, it's kind of as you're talking about stuff, this is information you can share and kind of get it out there. Maybe the more sustainable choices become more normalized and easier to do.
100%. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. I'm really glad that you reached out and that we met, and happy Earth Day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. And why don't you let everyone know how they can find you, you know, the website, social media, all of it, all the things all at once.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So wildlifefriendlywedding.org is where you can find the wedding guide itself. And sokindregistry.org is where you can find the registry platform. And I work within the Population and Sustainability Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. Choose_wild on Instagram. Choose Wild on Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thanks, Michelle.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.